On the night of the Euro 2020 final, though, there was a more scientific study going on. A really forensic examination of the racist bile being shared on Twitter as the game progressed.
Hey Matt, how are you doing? Nice to meet you.
Oh, hi, thanks for coming.
Thank you for taking time out to show me this impressive setup you've got here. I'm interested to see kind of what it looks like.
I'm in a grand lecture theatre at Cardiff University with marble statues overlooking four giant plasma screens. They call this place the Hate Lab, and it does exactly what it says on the tin. On the night of the Euro 2020 final, academics here mapped the key trigger points in the game, which led to spikes in racist abuse on Twitter. Professor Matt Williams is the author of The Science of Hate and director of The Hate Lab.
No one could have predicted how that penalty shootout unfolded. The way it did unfold, we knew would create this sort of tinderbox of hate on social media immediately based on our previous research. It became very clear to us that we were going to see this massive spike, and we knew the kinds of posts that we were going to be picking up using our technology.
The first screen we're looking at shows how many potentially abusive tweets were being sent. The second, where they were coming from, and the third and fourth screens paint a picture of what kind of racist words were being used most. The lab identified nearly 3,000 potentially racist tweets sent between just before kickoff and 22 hours after the game. To try and better understand the pattern of abuse on Twitter, let's rewind, if you can bear it, to that Sunday night at Wembley 2 months ago.
So kickoff, 8 p.m, what do we see in terms of offensive racist tweets being sent?
So that's sort of the baseline of racist tweets per hour in this chart. So around about 120.
So on the timeline, we can see that Italy equalised on the first point there.
Yes, and we see a slight increase in the number of potentially hateful posts. It's the first trigger point of frustration. And at that point, the Italy equaliser saw around about 175 tweets per hour that we would potentially classify as abusive or hateful, as targeting black players.
The next point for me is really interesting. It's when Rashford and Sancho come on during extra time.
So yes, what we see there, that substitution represents quite a significant uptick in hateful posts, potentially because there are two more ethnic minority players now on the pitch that can be targeted by Twitter users. So we see a rise to about 250 hateful posts per hour. But it really is when we get those penalty misses that we see this massive spike, almost a 3 to 4-fold spike. And then we get this peak, what we call the anti-black hate peak, probably around 5 minutes after that. We see a massive increase in the rate of hateful posts emanating from social media, up to around about 350, then up to a maximum on the chart of around about 380.
The life cycle that we're seeing here on the chart, the increase in the number of abusive tweets at a certain point, the decline and the aftershocks, what can social media companies learn from what we're seeing right here in the Hate Lab?
So we see this sort of half-life of hate manifesting after multiple different events, from terror attacks to court cases to political votes. And what we can learn from that is that we need to be prepared in the immediate aftermath of an event to engage in monitoring, for example, but also engage in takedowns.
So how effective were Twitter in removing these racist posts and closing down these accounts?
Twitter claimed to remove around about 1,000 posts, and some accounts following the events after that match. But a lot of them remained active, and if we were to search for some of the accounts in our dataset now, they would still be found active. That's mainly because Twitter are claiming that not all abusive posts broke their sort of terms of service, essentially.